This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyid ar-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are given this opportunity to address some of the issues that our youth face in today's day and age in the 21st century. And it's very interesting because the list of issues that we face only increase. There are so many things because as the day passes by, the issues only increase, the problems only increase, the technology only increases, the pathways to haram only increase. And every time a new pathway of haram is created, it actually directly impacts not only the non-Muslims, but the Muslims as well, because we live in a land in which we have direct interaction and direct exposure to everything that's out there. So the list of things that we need to discuss during these sessions are very long. But before we go on to the things that are haram and dealing with the issues that the youth face, I think the first and the most fundamental thing that we need to discuss is how our young men and women are developed internally. And we can talk about Muslim identity, because this is an aspect of Muslim identity. The most important thing for a Muslim is to have the identity in place. If your identity isn't in place, when you walk around in the world, you're not sure whether you are supposed to engage in certain things or you're supposed to stay away from certain things. The Muslim identity, to be firm and solid from within, is what allows you to make the right decisions in life and helps you stay away from making the wrong decisions in life. Now, when we talk about the components, the inner components of a believer, the first and most important component is to have your testification in place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a very famous hadith that Islam is established on five pillars. And out of the five pillars, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned testification, prayer, fasting, zakat, the alms, and pilgrimage, hajj. But before we get into the four mandatory acts that are mentioned, the salah, sawm, zakat, hajj, the first that one mention is testification, because that's the foundation of Islam. Without testification, there's nothing. Without the inner identity, there's nothing in a believer. And this is the biggest issue that today we face as a community, young and adults, everyone. That from within, we're hollow. From outside, we've done a very beautiful job at putting on a hat on, very beautiful job at growing our beards on, these beautiful gowns that we have, and you know, all these colorful scarves that we wear, and the hijabs that the sisters wear. We can work all day and all night on beautifying the outer, but before we work on the outer, we need to establish the inner first. And not necessarily we have to establish one before the other, but simultaneously. And if I may say, you can continue to develop the outer, but never forget the importance of establishing that inside as well. Now, when we talk about testification, the shahada, the testification is of two important points. The first thing we testify to is the oneness of Allah. And the second thing we testify to is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the servant and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two points right here are the very important ingredients for a solid believer, for a solid Muslim. For a person to love Allah azza wa jal, for a person to know who his creator is, for a person to be intimately in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every fiber in his body should yearn to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says in the Quran, Wallahu yuhibbul mu'mineen, that Allah loves the believers. But the question is now, do the believers love Allah or not? If the believers love Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance is there with them. If the believers love Allah, then the believers will understand the meaning of life. But if they don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how exactly are we supposed to be successful? How exactly are we supposed to be victorious in this great battle against shaitan and his army? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. That whoever relies on Allah, Allah will create for that person an exit. You could be locked in the corner in life and feel like there is no way out. Your situation, Your difficulties are such that, you know, you're just stranded. You don't think anyone in the world understands you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you feel the world is about to collapse on you, build that relationship with Allah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will create an exit point for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you get through any difficulty. And the deeper your love is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the stronger your iman becomes. I mean, think about this. How is it actually even logically possible that Bilal radiallahu anhu could be made to lie down on the sand of Makkah Mukarramah and he's being beaten? And every time they beat him, he testifies one Allah ahad. He testifies one Allah ahad. He testifies one Allah. You know, when I think about this, to me, it amazes me. Because I ask myself that if I was in Bilal radiallahu anhu's shoes, and if someone was beating the daylights out of me for my iman, how long would I last? Maybe a few minutes, if anything. You know, if someone poked us with a needle, we'd probably sell our iman out. But the thing was, them, for them, it was, the whole challenge was very easy. And the reason why it was easy for them was because they had love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you love something, to make a sacrifice for what you love is very easy. You know, a lot of our kids, they love video games. A lot of our kids love sports. A lot of our kids, they, you know, are young men and women, they love nice cars and like dressing, you know, in a nice fashionable manner. In order for a person to buy a nice car, there's a lot of sacrifice involved. In order for a person to wear nice clothes, there's a lot of sacrifice involved. Where do you get the money from? How do you work all those hours, all those days? You have to wake up early, sleep late at night. And you have a job, you have to deal with the attitude of your boss. You have to every day get to work. But all of that becomes so much more easier because we're doing it for something that we love. We love the dunya. We love the world and its beauty. That's why sacrificing for that world is so easy. But our love for the akhirah, for the hereafter, lacks. And because that lacks, making a sacrifice for the hereafter is so much more harder. The deeper your love is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the deeper your iman is. And when that iman is strong, then you have strength in your body. And when a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything becomes easy for that person. I'll give an example. You know, just the idea of a mother being pregnant. When a mother is expecting a child, she bears the child in her womb for 9 months. And for those of you who have ever witnessed what a lady goes through during those 9 months, it's profound. All the sacrifice, all the difficulty, you know, the vomiting that's involved, the illness that's involved, the weakness that's involved. And for 9 months, this mother, she goes through sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. And you would think at the end of 9 months, things would get easier. But no, they only get harder. Now it's time for the delivery. And the delivery is difficult, if not more difficult than the 9 months. Then you would think after the delivery, now things are going to get easy. But no, it only increases. Because the mother now needs to suckle the child. The mother now needs to clean after the child. The child now needs to be fed every 2 to 3 hours. Every 2 to 3 hours, you're changing diapers again. The child now needs massages to make sure that they're burping properly, that they're not so gassy. Now you have to make sure the child's head is right. You have to make sure the child doesn't flip over. So now you're constantly looking after the child. And if you thought pregnancy was difficult for the 9 months, now you actually have the physical child and need to look after this child. The challenges with the child only increase. The question is, how does a lady do that? How does a mother endure all that sacrifice? 9 months of pregnancy, delivery, looking after the child for all those years until the child grows up. And even after that, you know, the mother is a mother. She's always going to be there. You ask yourself, how do these women actually do it? A lot of these women who are looking after children, you know, couldn't make the slightest sacrifices prior to having a child. But now that they have a child, they make the biggest sacrifice in life. And the reality is, the reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in that mother's heart something called love. And it's the love for that child that allows the mother to make all the sacrifices for that child. And honestly, the sacrifices the mother will make for her child are unlimited. You know, a mother would give her life for the sake of her child, and a father would give his life for the sake of that child. So this is what happens when a person has love. If you learn to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things become so much more easier. Life becomes so much more easier. The vision in life, the pathway in life becomes so much more clear. And that's what we're all striving for. To learn to yearn for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To cry out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I went for Hajj a few years back, and a very interesting incident took place. we as a group had a habit of taking breakfast together every morning after Fajr Salah. We'd gather together in the lobby and then head off for the breakfast. And on one particular day, I was waiting for the group to gather together, and I realized there was one brother missing. So I waited for him a little extra long inside the lobby, and when he showed up, his eyes were red. He looked a little shooken up, so I asked him, "What happened to you?" And he said to me, "Sheikh, last night I was sleeping, and during the night I woke up. It was in the middle of the night. I tried to put myself back to sleep. I couldn't. All of my roommates were sleeping. So I thought to myself, you know, I've come to Mecca after all these years, first time in my life. Let me go to the masjid." So he said, "I did wudu. I went to the masjid alone. When I got there, I didn't know what to do because I was not used to being in the environment of the masjid." So he said, "I climbed to the roof, of the haram and to the masjid, and I went to the balcony right at the edge, and I was looking at the Kaaba, and I was just standing there. And then a person next to me was praying tahajjud salah, so I started copying him, and I started praying tahajjud salah. After he finishes tahajjud, I saw him making dua, so I raised my hands, and I started making dua. And it was sad because when I raised my hands to make dua to Allah, I wasn't feeling anything. The person next to me was in tears, he was crying, he was enjoying his dua. But here I was, at the perfect moment in life, at the time of tahajjud, after tahajjud, in the masjid, on the musalla, in the state of wudu, looking at the Kaaba with my hands raised, and I was just dry." And he said, "At that point, I looked at the Kaaba, and from the bottom of my heart, I asked Allah, why? What's happening to me?" And he said, "At that moment, tears came into my eyes, and I started crying, and I cried and cried and cried so much." And he said, "Sheikh, I cried for the rest of the night until Fajr Adhan was called. And while I was crying that night, I made one dua to Allah. And I said to Allah, oh Allah, it's taken me all these years to cry in your love. Now that I've started, don't let me stop." Because he said, "Sheikh, I had cried before in my life, but every time I cried before this day, crying was always bitter. It was painful. But this was the day that when I cried in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I actually enjoyed crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I realized that there was no better feeling." And then what he said to me was very interesting. He said, "Sheikh, had I died before this day, I would have never known what true pleasure and happiness means. But now that I've tasted that, even for a few moments in my life, I enjoyed those moments of crying in front of Allah, I know for a fact the world has nothing more sweeter to offer to me." So this is what it means to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends. This is what it means to enjoy life. This is what it means to have an identity where you're confident in yourself, you're strong, you're firm. And if you have the love of Allah with you, you have the love of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with you, the difficulties in life can only increase, but they won't be a challenge for you. They'll be very easy. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq and ability to be firm at the time of adversity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to remain strong in the most difficult of times. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us strength from amongst our weaknesses. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to pull out of the world of temptation and submit ourselves in the love of Allah azza wa jal. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.